Okay, looks like you got it.
It's gonna work in just a moment.
And I don't know if everyone heard me. Dawn is gonna be a little bit late, so I'll get the class started once I'm able to. Here. Hi, Michael. Okay, great. It looks like we are live streaming. Yay. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Linda.
I'm glad you joined. Dawn's going to be a little late, so I'm going to get class started momentarily. I was just trying to get us on live stream, which I believe we are now. Let me see here. Yeah, okay. All right, so I'm sure others will be joining us because we typically have a little bit more than this. But I just wanted to go over some calendar dates real quick and let you know that this is the last class of Karma. And next up, we have Refuge and the Three Jewels. And that's going to be 5 sessions taught by Robbie Watkins, our center director. And it's going to start on November 8th and run through December 6th. And then we'll take the rest of the month of December off for, you know, the whole holiday season and everything. So that's what's coming up. And I know most of you know my favorite place on the Kadampa Center website is the calendar. So be sure to check out the calendar because there is always so much going on. For instance, this Saturday, the 23rd, we've got circumambulating the Gampa with Geshe Sangpo. You know, there's weekday morning meditations, Tara practices. I mean, the list just goes on and on. I'm always amazed at how much we have going on at the Kadampa Center. I don't know if you all heard, but one of our center members, it was announced, if you subscribe to the Kadampa Center email list, one of our center members, David Strievel, was in a bad bicycle accident yesterday. So the family is asking for prayers, particularly Medicine Buddha prayers. If you subscribe to that newsletter, the Medicine Buddha prayers on there with the mantras and everything that you can do. He's apparently in ICU in Chapel Hill. So please send David Strievel and his family, Elise is his wife, your prayers if possible. So Don is in California with one of his daughters, and he just called a little bit ago and said that they were going to be late because it sounded like they were stuck in traffic on Highway 1. And so he was going to join us as soon as he can. So he asked me to go ahead and get us started. So I'm going to go ahead and bring up the prayers. Looks like I froze for a minute. Oh, the joys. So hang tight. If you can hear me, just hold tight. Hopefully I'll be back on momentarily. Well, okay, looks like I might be back. Crazy. Y'all bear with me. I'm working on it if you can hear me. Oh my goodness. My computer is like stuck. We're going to wait this out a few more minutes. I don't even know if you can hear me. If so, just bear with me for another few minutes. From my perspective, all of you are frozen and so am I. So hopefully my computer will catch up momentarily. Sorry, you guys. It looks like our karma for tonight is, you know, having some challenges here. I'm trying to open my screen for screen sharing. My computer's thinking about it. Carmen, can you hear me? Giovanna, can you hear me also?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh. Yes, I can hear you. I can hear you.
While we're waiting, I could read the Medicine Buddha mantra for David Siebel and Geshe Sangpo's mother and for Orion.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Prayer to the Medicine Buddha. To the Bhagavan Tathagata Arhat, fully enlightened Buddha, medicine guru, king of lapis light, I prostrate. Go for refuge and make offerings.
Julie, I'm back.
Oh, good.
I switched computers. You're so awesome, though.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
I tried.
That's amazing. You're awesome. Okay, so I had to switch computers. I don't know what's going on. So I don't have anything on this computer to share. So I am just going to say the prayers. Let me just get situated here. All right. Okay. So thank you, Julie. That's awesome. Okay, sorry for all of the technical difficulties. It's quite a night. For those of you who are just joining, Dawn is going to be a little bit late. And obviously, I'm having some issues connecting. So here I am. Yay, hopefully this computer will work. So what Dawn asked me to do is just go ahead and start things off for us. And so we will do the prayers. Let me just get those really quick.
Are you going to do the prayer to generate bodhicitta, the Dalai Lama prayer? I can put that up in the share screen if you want.
Oh, perfect. Thank you, Michael. All right. So if you're not already muted, I'd say go ahead and mute. Otherwise, it gets a little crazy if more than one person is saying this. So prayer to generate bodhicitta from His Holiness the Dalai Lama. I'm going to take a couple of deep breaths just to bring my mind into the space since technology has been a little bit crazy for me tonight. So maybe three full deep breaths. You can join me in those as we bring our mind and our thoughts into this space, into this class now. With the wish to free all beings, I shall always go for refuge
to the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha until I reach full enlightenment. Enthused by compassion and wisdom, today in Buddha's presence, I generate the mind of enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. For as long as space remains and as long as sentient being remains, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. And we can say the four immeasurables. Do you have that, Mike? Yes, we do. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. And may all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Okay, thank you. And I realized I did not say the refuge prayers three times. Sorry. So what we are going to do while we wait for Dawn is, this is the last class of the Karma module, and I am going to do a meditation from Kathleen McDonald's book called How to Meditate, and there's a great meditation in here on karma. And I've been thinking a lot about that lately. All right, so before we get started, we'll go ahead and come into a comfortable seated position. Whether you're in a chair or on a cushion, you want to have your back nice and straight. If you are sitting in a chair, it's best to sit upright and forward and not lean back on the chair. And then gently tuck your chin just a little bit, not a lot, but just a little, to lengthen the back of your neck. You want to relax your jaw and bring the tip of your tongue to the roof of your mouth just behind your teeth. Relax your shoulders. And then bring your hands into a meditation mudra, which the left is on the bottom, right on top. The tips of the thumbs touch, and you bring that just on your lap. And then you can gently close your eyes. And then again, check in all those meditation points or postures. Crown of the head reaches up. The back of the neck is long. Shoulders are relaxed. Jaw is relaxed. And then just begin with some full deep breaths again. Inviting your mind into this space. And into this time, this is the time you've set aside for discovering Buddhism, to learn and grow, and to integrate the Dharma into your life. So just take a moment to think about what brought you here tonight. And what brought you to discovering Buddhism? And whatever that motivation is perfectly fine and legitimate. And then you might take a moment to extend that motivation out beyond yourself, to the others whose lives you touch, those in your family, your friends, those who you work with and come in contact with, complete strangers who you pass on a daily basis, not really knowing who they are, but they're in our lives anyway. And then extend that motivation out to even those who you might have difficulties or challenges with.
And so that what you take with you from this meditation and this class goes out beyond yourself to all sentient beings, beyond humans, to all the sentient beings, from the little tiny ants to the big lions and the whales in the ocean. We'll take about 3 minutes to just focus on the breath. You can bring your awareness to the air moving in and out of the nostrils. And just simply sit with your breath for a moment. There's no need to change or alter your breath. Just simply notice. And if your mind wanders, bring it back to the breath. Over and over and over. And that is simply the meditation. Remaining focused on your breath. And now maintain that focus and calmness as we begin our meditation on karma. So the purpose of meditating on karma is twofold. One, to develop the awareness that we are responsible. We are the creators of our own experiences. And to learn which actions bring suffering so we can avoid those. And which actions lead to happiness so that we can engage in these. Don't let go of your thoughts of the past and the future, other places and people, and resolve to keep your mind focused in the present on this meditation. So as we've learned in class with Don, there are four aspects or general principles or characteristics of karma. And so as we reflect on those principles, you might even think about how they relate to your own life. And so the first principle or characteristic of karma is karma is definite. And so this means that there's a definite correlation between the actions we do and the experiences we have, and that negative actions bring problems, not happiness, whereas positive actions bring happiness, not suffering. And it cannot be otherwise. And so it's similar to what happens in nature. If we plant pumpkin seeds, we get pumpkins, not chilies. If we plant chili seeds, we get chilies, not pumpkins. And so it's up to us to plant those positive or negative seeds. So how do we know which actions are negative and which are positive? Well, the Buddha explained that it depends on our state of mind or our motivation. And here's how the Buddha explained this. Mind is the forerunner of all states. mind is chief. Mind made are they. If one speaks or acts with an impure mind, suffering follows, like the wheel that follows the cart pulling an ox. Mind is the forerunner of all states. Mind is chief. Mind made are they. If one speaks or acts with a pure mind, happiness follows, like one's shadow that never leaves. In other words, negative actions are those motivated by impure minds, such as anger, attachment, jealousy, and ignorance. And positive actions are those motivated by pure minds, such as compassion, love, non-attachment, and wisdom. But the Buddha also explained 10 actions that are by nature negative and lead to suffering. You might recall those from class. Killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, lying, divisive speech, hurtful words, idle talk, covetousness, harmful intent, and incorrect views, such as rejecting karma or the existence of enlightenment. So there's a corresponding list of 10 positive actions, which involve making the conscious effort to refrain from the 10 negative ones, with the recognition that they lead to suffering. That is, consciously refraining from killing, stealing, and so forth. And other examples of positive actions are helping those who are sick, poor, depressed, or grieving, or being generous, ethical, and patient, and doing spiritual practices with a pure motivation. So take a moment to think back over your life and see if you can recall having done any of these 10 negative actions. And try to recognize that although these actions may have brought you some short-term benefit, in the long run, they will bring problems. And now bring to mind instances of positive actions you've done and be glad about these. Understand that they are the cause of happiness for yourself and others. And try to feel, if I do negative actions such as killing or saying hurtful words to others, I plant seeds that will bring the bitter fruit of bad experiences and suffering. But if I do positive actions, such as protecting life and being truthful, I plant seeds that will bring the sweet fruit of good experiences and happiness. Therefore, I should try my best to avoid doing negative actions and create as many positive actions as possible. So just take a moment to reflect on that first principle or characteristic of karma, which is karma is definite. The next characteristic of karma is karma increases. This means that if we do a negative action, even a minor one, and do not apply any opponent force, such as purification practice, the karma increases continuously
and will bring many unpleasant results. And on the positive side, one small, tiny positive action, if not opposed by a negative one, will bring many positive results. It is similar to what we can observe in nature. Again, if we plant one tiny, pink, tiny apple seed, eventually we'll have a huge tree bearing many fruits every year. And if we let the weeds grow unchecked in our garden, pretty soon they will take over. And the Buddha explained this principle in this way. Even a tiny evil deed can cause great ruin and trouble in the world that lies beyond, like poison that has entered the body. Even small meritorious acts bring happiness to future lives, accomplishing a great purpose, like seeds becoming bounteous crops. In general, there are four results of any action we do. One, the fully ripened result. Two, the result similar to the cause in terms of experience. Three, the result similar to the cause in terms of action. And four, the environmental result. To illustrate these, let's take the negative action of killing. So the fully ripened result of killing is a rebirth in an unfortunate situation with continuous problems and suffering. So think about that for a moment. The fully ripened result of killing is a rebirth in an unfortunate situation with continuous problems and suffering. The results similar to the cause in terms of experience are unpleasant experiences that would occur in later human lives, such as having a short life. For example, you might be killed or die at a young age. And also many health problems and constant failure. So that's the results similar to the cause in terms of experience. And then the result similar to the cause in terms of action is having the instinctive tendency to kill. This is actually the worst result because it leads us to continue creating the same karma again and again. And thus we will experience the same results again and again. We can see this result even in our present life. The more we do a certain action, the easier it becomes to do again. And soon it becomes habitual and even automatic. And finally, the environmental result. Of killing is being born or living in a violent, war-torn or unhealthy environment.
Hey,
hi.
I can't hear you.
You can't?
I can't hear you.
Oh.
Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
All right, well, maybe that's all it needs to be, but I can't hear you.
Okay. Give me 2 minutes.
What now?
Yeah.
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking down here at the bottom.
Okay, so I've asked Don for 2 minutes.
Send me a chat.
Mm-hmm.
2 minutes to finish. Okay, go ahead. Go for it.
Okay, so everyone back into your meditation state. I'll wrap this up.
All right.
So we covered the four results of action in regards to karma. And so we were talking about what happens if we do kill. But conversely, if we refrain from killing, and this is why I wanted to finish this on a positive note, we will experience the opposite results. Rebirth in good conditions, having good health and a long life, success in our activities and our endeavors, living in peaceful, healthy environments, and having the natural tendency to cherish, and protect the lives of others. And take a moment to contemplate these points and see if you can come to the conclusion that it is important to refrain from even small negative actions, like telling little white lies. And it's important not to overlook opportunities to do even very small positive actions, like giving 10 cents to a homeless person or breadcrumbs to some birds. And so before I turn it over to Don, the other two that we're not getting to right now, the other two principles or characteristics of karma, the third one is if we do not do an action, we will not experience its result. And the fourth one is that karma is never lost. And so take a moment to end this session with optimistic thought, dedicating the positive energy that we've created from doing this meditation to all beings. May you and everyone else become free from suffering and its causes, karma and delusions, and attain enlightenment as soon as possible. Okay. Thanks, everyone. Okay, I'm going to turn it over to Don now.
You're going to have to, if you want to communicate with me, I think you're going to have to, if you can hear me, raise your hand. Okay. Now, if you need to say something, this is bizarre because I can't hear anything. I can't hear a word. Technology's let me down. But again, I can see. So if you need to say something, you have a question, you could type it into the chat window. How's that sound? Okay. So, Linda, you've done meditation and motivation and all that stuff. Have you done any review? No. Okay. All right. So, I promised this, you know, particularly this last class to do some stuff on purification practice. So, let me just start out by saying I'm sorry for this, you know. Anyway, I'm having a good time with my oldest daughter, hanging out with her on the West Coast, and so we're trapped in Carmel by the sea. Just got here a few minutes ago, but it's you know, we're using up a lot of good karma right now, which is. I mentioned, I didn't say this last time, but I will say it. Like bodhisattvas, they don't like for good things to happen to them. They actually invite problems. Because when good things happen, guess what? You're using up your good karma. So when, you know, when suffering or problems happen, they go, oh, great, problems. So opportunity to practice Dharma, opportunity to purify. You know, because once the karma is finished, if you don't react to it, if you don't create another round of samsaric, you know, karma for yourself, it's done. It's out of your system. So that's, in a sense, that's why you can literally be reborn in hell. And when that karma is finished, if the next throwing karma that ripens is to be reborn as a human being, you get thrown into the human realm. And then if the completing karma is good, then you have a good life as a human being. So anyway, you know, obviously there's a lot of things that we've said about karma in this class. By the way, can you hear me okay? Okay, good. Let me just take a minute and... So I sent out the homework. I don't know if people got it or not. I tried to throw out a few provocative things at the end. Like, for example, you know how at the beginning of this class, we talked about creatively aligning with the teachings on karma, because truthfully, even though there's a lot of logic to it, I mean, there's a pedestrian mentality that what goes around comes around, and on a superficial level, obviously that is, it's pretty obvious that if you yell at people, you're going to get mistreated most likely, and if you don't brush your teeth, you know, and if you don't go to work, you lose your job, and I mean, that's pretty obvious, but Buddhism, you know, the perspective is that everything is a karmic projection. And it's not as if nothing exists. That would be nihilism. Buddhism doesn't purport that, but it does say that everything that we experience is our karmic projection. And as I mentioned in previous classes, and because things are empty of existing from their own side, they exist in dependence upon the mind that labels them. And Lama Zopa is that's the most profound and difficult aspect of the king of reasoning, which is called dependent arising, that proves that things don't exist independently and inherently out there in and of themselves, because they exist in a dependent fashion and dependent upon causes and conditions, which is karma, independence upon a collection of parts that come together that, you know, create our, you know, that benefit our perception, right? When everything comes together in a certain way, we call it a computer. When it comes together, the parts come together in a certain way, we call it a human being or an automobile or a room or whatever. And things in most profound, and that's pretty easy to see, and causes and conditions mostly pretty easy to get. But this whole notion that everything depends upon the mind that labels it, and in fact, our very perception, according to Buddhism, is a karmic projection. The mind, the only reason I can see and label this as a computer is because I've seen it before. And so... So where do those, again, getting back to the frames of the video of my mind, that's allowing me to have the visual experience of seeing this class, each of those frames, if it's a positive experience, the frames were created by former positive actions that were created either in this lifetime or some former lifetime. All that ripening, boom, now, you know, 60 of them in the finger snap, you know, billions of them literally creating every aspect of my experience. That's karma. Karma is creating our lives moment to moment. We have the karma to wake up this morning and still be a human being and have the opportunity to do whatever we do. So again, if we're having a beneficial or happy or a positive experience, that is from past virtuous actions. If we're experiencing ourselves as having a difficult time or suffering, then that's from our former negative actions. And so it's very helpful for my mind to see that everything that happens to me is me. Like, if somebody's mistreating me, I'm going, wow, that's my karmic projection. That's because I treated somebody else like this in the past. Wow, I need to clean my act up. We can use every aspect of our lives to train ourselves what to do and not to do. Things are not going well. We go, okay, I just, you know, somebody's stealing from me. Wow, I need to be impeccable with my integrity around not lying, not taking anything that's not freely given. If people are mistreating me and just treating me disrespectfully, I need to be impeccable with every aspect of the way I treat people. So we all want to be happy and we don't want to suffer. I mean, we've said that a million times. Every teaching that I've ever heard the Dalai Lama give has always starts it out saying, we're all the same. We all want to be happy. We don't want to suffer. So that's so clear. So what do we have to do? Because, you know, we've talked about our karma is definite, positive leads to happiness, negative leads to suffering. It's expandable. We talked about how, we cannot experience a result without creating the cause, and flip that around. You know, there's nothing that ever happens to us that we didn't create the causes for. And by same token, nothing in the future, everything that happens to us in the future will be the fruition of our actions at this moment. Like every moment, we're literally shaping our future lives. And then the karmic seeds, tiny little seeds or big seeds, whatever they are, they're never lost unless the caveats are we can destroy karma with strong negative actions. You know, for example, anger can destroy eons of positive karma, or we can experience the fruits of negative actions and those karmas are finished, and we can purify negative karma. And that's what this class is about. We want to talk about the Vajrasattva practice. So Vajrasattva, this is Lama Zopa Rinpoche, gave this practice, and you can see the image there, right? So can everybody see that? Yeah. So Rinpoche shows that this High Sugar Tantra is the most powerful tantric practice in all of Buddhism. So this is a Vajrasattva father and mother. So it's basically male and female, and symbolizing method and wisdom. And so most people are not adroit enough or skillful enough to be able to visualize a being that looks like this with all of these. I mean, everything in here is very symbolic. Everything has, you know, Vajrasattva, for example, the male figure holds a Vajra and bell, which symbolizes, again, method and wisdom. And the female aspect holds a curved knife and a skull cup. It's kind of a lot of tantric imagery is unusual. And each thing has symbolic meaning. But that's not the point. The most important thing for us to remember is that Vajrasattva, which we're going to say is this both together or Vajrasattva, or, you know, is the what we imagine above the crown of our head that is going to purify us, our body, speech, and mind. Okay? So you would, ordinarily in this practice, you would take refuge and then you would imagine that above the crown of your head, you know, completely made of light, was a manifestation of this enlightened aspect of your consciousness that's going to, and we're going to use that to purify ourselves. And so it's like a hologram. We imagine it as big as we can on a lotus and sun and moon seat. And there's Vajrasattva, father and mother, and completely made of light. And they're not like static. I mean, they're actually a living presence. That's the attitude that we need to have. And then at his heart is a moon disk. And around the edges of the moon disk are the 100-syllable mantra. Okay? And this is really important. And if you don't have a guru, which is okay, if you don't, maybe you'll create the karmic causes in this lifetime to have one. But I was fortunate enough to actually, Lama Yeshe gave me this empowerment many years ago. And so one of the instructions is to see that your mind and Vajrasattva's mind and your guru's mind, in my case, it would be Lama Yeshe. You know, it could be, you know, it could be the Dalai Lama for you. If that's somebody that you rely on or you want to visualize your guru, but you want to see that your mind, your guru's mind and Vajrasattva's mind are inseparably one. That your mind is inseparably one from that of your guru and of Vajrasattva. And that, so that gives us, you know, this image above the crown of your head, even more power. And as we say the mantra, we go through the prayer. As we say the mantra, there are three different visualizations that we're going to do. And the first one is to purify the negative karma of a body. The first one is to purify the negative karma of body. And what's going to happen is the light and nectar are coming from Vajrasattva's, from the mantra garland, and there's a hum at the center, and that's all going to come down through the body of Vajrasattva, entering the crown of our head, going, and it's like literally flushing our body of all negativities. It could be cancer, it could be heart disease, it could be all the negative karma that we've created in our body. And remember the three principle, when we talk about the 10 non-virtuous actions, killing and stealing and sexual misconduct, and all of that negative karma from this and past lifetimes, plus any physical illnesses and problems that we're having physically, completely leave our body, going through the lower orifices and disappearing in the space beneath us, completely gone. And we imagine as we're saying the mantra, this is a dynamic visualization. It's not static. It's happening. But the most important part at this point is to recollect the things, the negative karma that you want to let go of before we do the visualization. And then as we're doing the visualization, feeling like you're being purified as you say the mantra, and as much as possible, imagine that light and nectar pushing that negativity in the form of black, yucky stuff out of the lower orifices of the body, completely disappearing in the space beneath us. And that's the first visualization for the first seven mantras that we do. And then, again, as we do this, it's very important, as much as possible, to feel like you've let go of that negativity of body, that negative karma. Again, not only this lifetime, but all our previous lifetimes, all the negativity of our body, as much as possible, we imagine it's gone, disappeared. As we say this very powerful 100-syllable mantra. Then the second visualization, as we say this mantra, is that we're purifying our speech. So the light and nectar from Vajrasattva's heart, this moon disk and mantra garland and the hum at the center comes through the crown of her head, and it literally, like if you had a dirty glass and it had a lot of crud at the bottom, But as it fills up, the crud floats to the surface and it spills out like through the nostrils and ears and mouth, and it leaves our body. And our, this is a weird visualization, but this is what we try to visualize, maybe even through the eye sockets. It could, all that negativity of speech completely leaves our body, and we are purified of the negative karma, specifically of lying and slander and harsh and frivolous talk. Remember the four, the four principles, negativities of our speech. We're completely purified, as we say this mantra. And then lastly, we visualize we're purifying the mind of greed and hatred and ignorance. And then there's the 84,000 delusions, right? These are just three of the biggies, three biggies. There's pride and jealousy of the other five, but those are called the three poisonous states of mind, greed, hatred, and ignorance. And as we do the mantra this last three, the last seven times, we visualize that the light and nectar enters the crown of our head, and instantly our body becomes like purified, like turning a light on in a dark room. That light and nectar enters our body, and instantly all the negative karma of our body is completely purified. And we say that, again, a dynamic visualization as this living presence of the Buddha in the form of Vajrasattva, father and mother, inseparable from our guru in our own mind, above the crown of our head, is you know, this light and nectar is entering us and completely purifying our body, our speech, and our mind. So this is the practice. And as much as possible, you know, this takes faith. I mean, karma, again, I mean, karma takes faith. Tantra takes faith. That's why, you know, it's a little bit tricky here because you know, you have to have, in Tantra particularly, it's important to have a relationship with somebody that you trust and that it actually has incredible qualities, and they're the embodiment of these most esoteric but profound practices in Buddhism. And to the degree that you have faith that this practice can purify your body, speech, and mind, to that degree you'll benefit from it. If you think, oh, this is a bunch of hooey and I'm not going to do it, and not much benefit. But remember, the keys here are, again, this is all done. The mantra recitation is the remedy aspect of it. This is the entire practice in this booklet. So any questions, you know, you can type them into the chat section. Any questions before we do this practice one time together? Nothing? Well, let's, so you remember the four remedies, right? The four opponent powers. The first is reliance. The second one is regret. The third one is the remedy. And the fourth one is the resolve. And of the four, what's the most important one? Resolve. It is strong determination to not do this again. So, but again, we have to be sincere in terms of our, we have to be completely, like, brutally honest with ourselves when we've done something that's problematic, that's going to cause us future suffering. So I'm going to read through this booklet. Now, I don't know how many people, I think most of you have, did you download that from the internet? Because it was sent in the homework. The link to this practice was sent in the homework. It was on Lama Yeshe Wisdom Archives. So I'm going to read through this practice. Sorry about my voice.
Also, I just put the Vajrasattva mantra in the chat.
Okay. So take a minute and just let the mind settle. And And so we're going to do this practice with the Mahayana motivation as much as possible. We're going to dedicate this practice not only to our well-being, but the well-being of all living beings, and even a bigger game, sort of the most magnanimous motivation we could ever have would be that we want to eliminate all of our faults and develop all of our good qualities and really become a Buddha in order to be able to accomplish the welfare of others. And we to do what we want to do, which is to help the world, to make a difference, to be, you know, to make the greatest impact. We have to clean up our mess and then develop all the qualities that it's going to take to be that kind of contribution to humanity and to living beings in general. So with that motivation, we're going to do the practice. So I forever take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. I take refuge in all the three vehicles. Yeah. And in the dhakas and dakinis of secret mantra yoga. So this is a lot of cryptic language that you don't have to understand right now, but you, at some point we could talk about it. And the heroes and heroines, the gods and goddesses, and all the bodhisattvas of the 10 bhumis, those are the 10 realms, the bodhisattva levels up to full enlightenment. But most of all, I take refuge in my holy guru forever. I forever take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. I take refuge in all the three vehicles, in the dhakas and dakinis of secret mantra yoga. These are the beings that help us practice at the highest level, in the heroes and heroines, in the gods and goddesses, and the bodhisattvas of the 10 bhumis. But most of all, I take refuge in my holy guru forever. I forever take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. I take refuge in all the three vehicles, in the dhakas and dakinis of secret mantra yoga, in the heroes and heroines, and gods and goddesses, and in the bodhisattvas of the 10 bhumis. But most of all, I take refuge in my holy guru forever. And then first recall the definition of negative karma. Any action that results in suffering, usually an action motivated by ignorance, attachment, and aversion. So let's say again, the definition of negative karma is any action that results in suffering. So literally, if we're suffering, the cause of it had to be a negative action. Important to remember that. And actions, again, we have to always be checking our motivation whenever we're behaving, because it's the key to karma. So any action that results in suffering, usually an action motivated by ignorance, attachment, or aversion, always, always going to lead to suffering. Could ripen in this life, could ripen in some future distant lifetime. Almost every action, this is quoting Lama Zopa, almost every action I do, 24 hours a day, is motivated by worldly concerns, attachment to the comforts of this life. It is like this from birth to death in this life, and has been like that from beginningless rebirths. Nearly every action I've ever created has been non-virtuous, the cause of suffering. Not only that, but continuously, I have also been breaking my pratimoksha, bodhisattva, and tantric vows. These are the sort of the principal vows that somebody who's taken refuge and is practicing at the highest level would take. And, you know, we talked about the importance of taking vows if and when you're ready, because it really protects us from our negative mind. So these levels, worst of all, I've created the heaviest negative karmas in relation to my virtuous friends, getting angry at them. These are our teachers, basically, our gurus. Getting angry at them, generating wrong views, having non-devotional thoughts toward them, harming their holy body, disobeying their advice. Having these negative imprints on my mental continuum is unbearable. It's as if I'd swallowed a lethal poison. I must practice the anta right away and purify all the negative karma immediately without a second's delay. In this way, generate strong feeling of urgency and regret. So again, the first part was the power of reliance. Now this is the part of regret or contrition, I guess is a good word if you're a Catholic, former Catholic anyway. Remembering impermanence and death. So I think many of you have probably already done the module on death and impermanence, but you know, they say that, you know, for Dharma, for any action to be a pure Dharma action, at the beginning it's important to remember impermanence and death. In the middle it's important to remember, and at the end it's important to remember impermanence and death. So Lama Zopa goes on, many people my age or younger have died. It is a miracle that I'm still alive and have this incredible opportunity to purify my negative karma. Death is certain, but its time is most uncertain. If I were to die right now, I would definitely be born in the lower realms, in the joyless realms. Because I could not practice Dharma there, I would remain in the lower realms for countless eons. Therefore, how unbelievably fortunate I am to be able to purify my negative karma right now without even a second's delay by practicing Vajrasattva's meditation and recitation. Then the power of dependent generating bodhicitta. But I'm not practicing Vajrasattva purification for myself alone. Again, this is very powerful. This is how Lama Zopa lives his life and how he speaks. The purpose of my life is to release all hell beings, pretas, animals, humans, jealous gods, or asuras. Asuras are the deva realm. So those are the six realms of samsara that we create in our mind every day. But also there are actually places that we can literally, our mind can project rebirth into these kinds of places. So the purpose of my life is to release all the beings in all the realms of samsara and the intermediate state from all forms of suffering and its causes and lead them to unsurpassed enlightenment. In order to do this, I must first reach enlightenment myself. Therefore, I must purify all my negative karmas immediately by practicing the Vajrasattva recitation. So that's the bodhicitta motivation that Lama Zopa is leading us in. Now here's the visualization. Above the crown of my head, and again, for most of us, just visualizing a light above the crown of the head doesn't, if you could visualize all the details of this, it'd be amazing. But some people are very visual and some people not so much so, but it's enough to feel that there's a living presence of Vajrasattva above the crown of our head that's going to purify us. So above the crown of my head, seated upon a lotus and a moon seat, a Vajrasattva father and mother. Their bodies are white. Each has one face and two arms. He holds a dorji and a bell. A dorji is this, you know, thing we call a vajra, and a bell. Dorji is kind of a Tibetan word for the Sanskrit word vajra. And she, a curved knife and a skull cup. The curved knife has something to do with cutting through ignorance. They're embracing each other. The father is adorned with six mudras and the mother with five. Mudras are just, well, there are lots of, there's a meaning for that. I don't really need to go into that right now. He sits in the vajra posture and she in the lotus. Vajrasattva is my root guru, the holy mind of all the Buddhas, the Dharmakaya, which is the mind of emptiness, the subtlest level of mind is the Dharmakaya, who out of his unbearable compassion, which embraces me and all sentient beings, appears in this form to purify me and all others. And this way your mind is transformed into guru devotion, the root of all blessings and realizations of the path to enlightenment. On a moon disk, a Vajrasattva's heart stands a hum, H-U-M, syllable, encircled by a garland of the 100-syllable mantra. A powerful stream of white nectar flows from the hum and the mantra garland, and I am cleansed of all sickness, spirit harm, and negative karma and obscurations. All right, now I'm going to read the meaning of the mantra. Somebody asked what this means last time, and I said, the time that I've really spent some time doing this practice, I can read the meaning of the mantra, but when I'm saying the mantra, all I'm thinking about is that this is a powerful, you know, very blessed mantra, and the its purpose is to purify me of negative karma, body, speech, and mind. I don't have the time to recollect the details of the meaning. And it's better to say it in Sanskrit, the Sanskrit syllables, than just to read through it in English. But I guess you could do that. It says, you, Vajrasattva, have generated this holy mind, bodhicitta, according to your pledge, samaya, which means holy pledges. Your body is enriched with the simultaneous holy actions of releasing transmigratory beings. That's beings that are circling in the wheel of samsara. From samsara, the circling suffering aggregates. Whatever happiness in my life, happiness or suffering, good or bad, such as with a pleased holy mind, never give up, but please guide me. Please stabilize all happiness, including the happiness of the upper realms, actualize all actions of sublime and common realizations, and please make the glory of the five wisdoms abide in my heart. So you recite the mantra 7 or 21 times, or as many times as possible, practicing the three techniques of downward cleansing, which I explained earlier. Remember, purifying the body of negative karma, but again, that nectar pushing all the negative karma of our body down to the lower orifices, the upward cleansing, which is speech, and the instantaneous cleansing, which is of the mind, when I'm suddenly like turning on a light in a dark room. So we're going to say this, and then we're going to do it 21 times together, and I won't be able to hear you, but I haven't been able to hear you anyway, and I will do this, and now, there's a really beautiful tune to it, which I'm sorry, but I'm just not really good at this tune. And so I have to do it the way I have to do it. But so we're going to do the first 7 together, and I'll set it up again just a little bit, because I want you to think about today, you know, real things in your life. Not only today, but yesterday, last week, last year, things in this lifetime that you regret, you know, the actions of your body, killing, you know, you think, well, I haven't killed anybody today or this week or this lifetime that I know of, but, you know, imagine that in past lifetimes you have, and this lifetime is for sure, you've taken the lives of, I mean, at least insects, and who knows what else. So all your negative karma of killing, of taking which hasn't been freely given, which is stealing, and sexual misconduct, you know, harmful actions, sexual behavior that's harmed yourself and others in this lifetime or in former lifetimes. We imagine all that negativity. And as we say the mantra, there's this downward cleansing as the light and nectar comes from Vajrasattva's holy body, entering the crown of our head, completely purifying us of the negative karma of our body. Okay? So say this together. Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manopalaya Vajrasattva Dino Patita Dino Me Bawa Satukayo Me Bawa Subokayo Me Bawa Anuratna Me Bawa Sarva Siddhi Me Prayaja Sarakama Sutra Me Siddham Sriyam Guru Ahahaha Ho Bhagavan Sawatata Gadra Vadra Mami Mucha Vadra Bawa Mahasamaya Sava Aum Pe Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manopalaya Vajrasattva Dino Patita Dino Me Bawa Sutukayo Me Bawa Subokayo Me Bawa Anarata Me Bawa Sava Siddhi Me Prayaja Sava Karma Sujami Chidam Sriyam Kuru Hum Ha 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 Ho Bhagavan Sava Tata Gata Vajra Mami Mucha Vajra Bawa Mahasamaya Sava Aum Be Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manopalaya Vajrasattva Dino Pati Dino Bamawa Sitokayo Me Bawa Supokayo Me Bawa Anarata Me Bawa Sova Siddhi Me Paya Cha Sova Kama Suchami Siddham Sriyam Kuru Hum Ha 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 Ho Bhagavan Sova Tata Gadra Baba Mama Mucha Vajra Bawa Mahasamaya Sapa Ahum Pe Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manopalaya Vajrasattva Dino Patita Dino Me Bawa Sotokayo Me Bawa Supokayo Me Bawa Anurata Me Bawa Sova Siddhi Me Prayaja Sova Kama Suchami Siddham Sriyam Kuru Hum Ha 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 Ho Bhagavan Sova Tati Gaja Vajra Mami Mutra Vajra Bawa Mahasamaya Sapaha Om Pe Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manopalaya Vajrasattva Dino Patita Dino Me Bawa Sudukaya Me Bawa Subukaya Me Bawa Anurata Me Bawa Sava Siddhi Me Prayaja Sava Kama Suchami Siddham Sriyam Kuru Hum Ha 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 Ho Bhagavan Sava Tati Gadra Vajra Mami Mutra Vajra Bawa Mahasamaya Sava Om Pe Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manopalaya Vajrasattva Dino Patita Dino Me Bawa Sutukayo Me Bawa Supukayo Me Bawa Anurata Me Bawa Sava Siddhi Me Prayaja Sava Karma Sutra Me Siddham Sriyam Kuru Hum Ha 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 Ho Bhagavan Sava Tate Gadra Vajra Mami Mucha Vajra Bawa Mahasamaya Sava Aum Pe Imagine this light and nectar come from Vajrasattva, mother and father, inseparable from your guru. And often when I do this practice, I imagine it, because I have trouble visualizing Vajrasattva, I imagine it's Lama Yeshe. I imagine Lama Yeshe, but imagine he's also inseparable from Guru Vajrasattva. So I can relate to Lama Yeshe. Vajrasattva is a little harder. And so imagine light and nectar coming from Lama Yeshe, inseparable from Guru Lama Vajrasattva, through the crown of my head, completely purifying my body. And when you're doing this practice in a retreat or even alone, you want to say, now we're doing it out loud, but you say the mantra, you say every word of the mantra, but you say it with a whisper. So that if you're in a retreat, somebody's sitting three feet away, they wouldn't be able to hear you. But you want to say every syllable of the mantra, not leaving one of the 100 syllables out. Again, like that. And it, really important to remember, visualize this light and nectar and feel that you've let go of that negative karma of body. You want to feel that. Have faith that you purified your body, negative karma of your body. Now we're going to do the speech. Again, this is the upward cleansing. Remember the light and nectar filling us up like a glass full of dirty contents, and then as the water fills up, as the nectar fills up the glass, the garbage, the dirty, the negative karma of speech spills out over the edges of the glass and disappears. So again, seven more times, again, visualizing the light and nectar coming from Vajrasattva, and it's lying and slander and harsh and frivolous speech. That's what the main actions of speech that we want to recollect from this and all our previous lifetimes, we're letting go of that. All right. Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manopalaya Vajrasattva Dino Patita Dino Mebawa Sutokaya Mebawa Subokaya Mebawa Anuratta Mebawa Sarvasiri Meprayacha Sawakama Sucha Med Siddham Suryam Kuruham Ahahaho Bhagavan Sawatata Gadra Vajramami Mutra Vajrabhava Mahasamaya Sava Aumpe Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manopalaya Vajrasattva Dino Patita Dino Mebawa Sutokaya Sidham Sriyam Kuruham, ha 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 ho, Bhagavan. Sawatata Gadra Bhadra Mami Mutra Vajra Bhava Mahasama Saba Aum Pe. Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manopalaya Vajrasattva Dino Patita Dino Me Bhava Sotukaya Me Bhava Subokaya Me Bhava Anarate Me Bhava Sawasiri Me Prayaja Sawakama Sujami Sidham Sriyam Kuruham, ha 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 ho, Bhagavan. Sawatata Gadra Bhadra Mami Mutra Vajra Bhava Mahasama Saba Aum Pe. Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manopalaya Vajrasattva Dino Patita Dino Me Bhava Sutukaya Me Bhava Subokaya Me Bhava Anarate Me Bhava Zawasiri Me Prayaja Sawakama Sujami Sidham Sriyam Kuruham, ha 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 ho, Bhagavan, Sawatata Gadra, Bhadra Mami Mucha, Bhadra Bhava Mahasamaya Sava Aum Pe. Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manopalaya Vajrasattva Dino Patita Dino Me Bhava Sutukaya Me Bhava Subukaya Me Bhava Anadhuwe Me Bhava Sawasiri Me Prayaja Sawakama Suchame Sidham Sriyam Kuruham Ha 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 Ho Bhagavan Sawataya Kachu Vajra Mami Mutra Vajra Bhava Masamaya Sapa Ahum Pe. Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manopalaya Vajrasattva Dino Patita Dino Me Bhava Sutukaya Me Bhava Subokaya Me Bhava Anarakta Me Bhava Sawasiri Me Prayacha Sawakama Sucha Me Sidham Sriyam Kuruham Ha 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 Ho Bhagavan Sawatata Gadra Bhadra Mami Mutsa Bhadra Bhava Mahasamaya Sapa Ahum Pe. And now, again, feel that all your negative karma of your speech completely purifies, completely disappears into the space of emptiness. And Vajrasattva, father, mother, again, very pleased to be helping you purify your body and your speech. And now we're going to do the mind. Again, this is the instantaneous cleansing, like as soon as the light, and you know, we imagine our body is completely darkened by the negative karma of our mind, particularly greed, hatred, and ignorance. And as we say the mantra, the light and nectar in the crown of our head, it's like flipping on a light, like in a dark room, and our mind is completely purified of every bit of negative karma of our mind. Again, seven more times. Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manopalaya Vajrasattva Dino Patita Dino Me Bhava Dukkhaya Me Bhava Subukkhaya Me Bhava Anuruddha Me Bhava Sarvasthiti Me Prayaja Sawakama Sucha Me Chidam Sriyam Kuruham Ha 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 Ho Bhagavan Sawatata Gadra Vajra Mami Mucha Vajra Bhava Mahasamaya Sava Ahum Pe. Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manopalaya Vajrasattva Dino Patita Dino Me Bhava Sutukaya Me Bhava Sawakama Sucha Me Chidam Sriyam Kuruham Ha 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 Ho Bhagavan Sawatata Gadra Vajra Mami Mucha Vajra Bhava Mahasamaya Sava Ahum Pe. Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manopalaya Vajrasattva Dino Patita Dino Me Bhava Sutukaya Me Bhava Supakaya Me Bhava Anuratta Me Bhava Sarvasiri Me Prayaja Sawakama Sucha Me Chidam Sriyam Kuruham ha 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 ho bhagavan savatatikadra vajra mamya mutta vajra bhavama vajra sapa samaya sapa ahom pe om vajra sapa samaya manapalaya vajra sapa tinapatida dhirame bhava stukaya me bhava sapakaya me bhava anuata me bhava sovasiri me prayaja sovakama sutra me siddham shriyam karuham ha 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 ho bhagavan So what tata gadra vadra mami mutta vadra bhava mahasamaya sapa ahom pe. Om vadra sapa samaya manapalaya vadra sapa tino patita. Dhira me bhava stukaya me bhava supokaya me bhava. Anirate me bhava sarvasiri me prayacha savakama sucha me. Sedam shriyam karuham ha 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 ho bhagavan. So what tata gadra vadra mami mutta vadra bhava mahasamaya sapa ahom pe. Om Vajrasapa Samaya Manapalaya Vajrasapa Tino Patita Adhira Me Bhava Sutokaya Me Bhava Supakaya Me Bhava Anavate Me Bhava Sarasiri Me Prayacha Sawakama Sucha Me Siddham Sriyam Kuruhum Ha 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 Ho Bhagavan Sawatate Gadra Vajra Mami Mucha Vajra Bhava Mahasamaya Sapa Ahum Pe Om Vajrasapa Samaya Manopalaya Vajrasapa Dino Patita Dino Me Bhava Sutukaya Me Bhava Supokaya Me Bhava Anavrata Me Bhava Sarasiri Me Payacha Sarakama Sucha Me Sedam Sriyam Kuruha Ha 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 Ho Bhagavan Sarata De Gadra Vajra Mami Mucha Vajra Bhava Mahasamaya Sapa Ahum Pe And again, feel like the negative karma of your body is completely purified. Completely, like completely disappears into space. So now we imagine we purified our body, speech, and mind. Again, this is the actual remedy portion of the four abundant powers is doing the mantra. And you know, if you were going to be doing it, once you memorize the mantra, you can say it as fast as you want to. It's okay to speed it up, or if you're comfortable, if you're most comfortable doing it to a tune, that's okay too. I think, you know, if you're doing this practice correctly, you're sitting perfectly still. You're not moving. And you know, you're keeping in mind. So this is really a profound part of the practice because you're using your body, speech, and mind simultaneously in any tantric practice, and you're doing it mindfully. And in this practice, you visualize Vajrasattva, father and mother, above the crown of your head, right? And light and nectar purify, coming through the crown of your head, purifying your body, speech, and mind. See, that's, you're mindful of that as you're mindful of your body not moving and being, you know, perfectly still. And then you're mindful of your speech doing the 100-syllable mantra. Okay? And then you do, and when you do this 21 times, so as you memorize the mantra, you could be going really fast. You might even be able to do the mantra in like 10 seconds. You might be going, Om Vajrasapa Samaya Manapalaya Vajrasapa Dinopataya Dhirame Bhava Sutukaya Me Bhava Supokaya Me Bhava Anuradhame Bhava. But you'd be saying it very quietly. Anuradhame Bhava Sarasidhame Parachaya Sarkama Sutra Kretin Shrinkurum Aho Bhagavan Sarvatitaka Vajramam Mucha Vajrabhava Nasama Sava Aum Pe Om Vajrasapa Samaya Manapalaya Vajrasapa Dinopataya Dhirame Bhava Sutukaya Me Bhava. Like that. You could do it very quickly. And sometimes, you know, I've heard some people say that it really helps to get it going, to get, you know, if you're doing this practice, to memorize it and to get a rhythm to it and do it quickly, not slowly. But it's really what you're most comfortable with. It's really what you're most comfortable with. So the next aspect, generate faith and having been purified. So it says, from the crown of my head, Guru Vajrasattva says, son of the race, your negativities, obscurations, and broken and damaged pleasures have been completely purified. Well, this is Vajrasattva saying this. All of our negativity of body, speech, and mind completely purified. Generate strong faith that they have been completely purified just as Guru Vajrasattva And then the power of refraining from creating negative actions again. This is the power of restraint that we talk about. Okay. From now, let's see, before Guru Vajrasattva, I vow never again to commit these negative actions for which I can easily abstain and not commit for a day, an hour, or at least a few seconds those negative actions for which I find it difficult to abstain. So again, this is what we don't want to lie. And we want to be honest about, like, yeah, so if we have done something and it's such an ingrained habit that we know we're going to break our word, then as much as possible, make a vow to keep it for maybe just a day. Maybe you can't get angry. You know, you can't be peaceful. I mean, you can't avoid getting angry or, you know, irritated for very long. So make a promise and then as much as possible, keep your word. So that's really emphasized in the teachings on the Vajrasattva teachings. Now the absorption. So Guru Vajrasattva, inseparable from my guru, is extremely pleased with your pledge. Vajrasattva, father and mother, melt into light and dissolve into you. Imagine that this visualization completely melts into light and comes through the crown of your head and dissolves into you. Your body, speech and mind become inseparably one with Guru Vajrasattva's holy body, speech and mind. So this is not where you visualize yourself as Vajrasattva, but you imagine that your mind, your body, speech and mind are inseparably one with the pure body and speech and mind of a Buddha. Very tantric, where we take the future, which is our future purification. Imagine that we are that now. And have faith that we're purified. And that we can be purified and that we have been purified. And, and at the very least, we weaken the force of the karmic results of our negative action. And then the dedication. In emptiness, there is no I, creative negative karma. There is no action. Excuse me. I'm beginning to sound like Lama Zep. Sorry, excuse me. I don't mean to be disrespectful. But creative negative actions. There is no action of creating negative karma. There's no negative karma created. This is all about emptiness. There's no inherently existent I, self, others, karma. Sounds like the Heart Sutra. Place your mind on that emptiness for a little while. And this way, look at all phenomena as empty. They do not exist from their own side. With this awareness of emptiness, dedicate the merits. And this is the most powerful dedication of all, is dedicating it with an awareness of emptiness. That you, the positive actions and the negative actions, and those actions themselves, are completely empty. These are called the three circles of emptiness. Self and others and the action, completely empty of existing from their own side. Very powerful, very important to do, not only, you know, acknowledge, you know, when we've done positive things, but also seal it with this awareness of emptiness. Due to all the merits of the three times collected by me, Buddhas, and Bodhisattvas, and all other sentient beings, which appear to be real, this is again emptiness, and all other sentient beings, which appear to be real from there, but which are empty, may the I, which appears to be real but is empty, achieve Guru Vajrasattva's enlightenment, which appears to be real but is empty, empty of inherent existence, existing from its own side, and lead all sentient beings who appear to be real but are totally empty from their own side to that enlightenment, which appears to be real but is empty, by myself alone, which appears to be real, but is also totally empty, non-existent from there, which means from its own side. May the precious bodhicitta, the source of all happiness and success for myself and all those sentient beings, be generated within my own mind and in the minds of all sentient beings without even a second's delay. And may that which has been generated be increased. May I and all other sentient beings have Lama Tsongkhapa as our direct guru in all our lifetimes. Never be separated from even a second from the pure path that is greatly praised by the conqueror Buddhas, and actualize the complete path, the three principles of the path, right? Renunciation, bodhicitta, and emptiness, and the two stages of highest yoga tantra, which are generation and completion stage, the root of which is guru devotion, which is having a relationship with a teacher who we totally respect and have this natural feeling of devotion toward. And it's not something that we can conjure up. It's something that comes with having, over time, with having a qualified teacher, and we develop devotion from our heart. It's something that is really important and the key to success of tantric practice within our minds as quickly as possible. Just as the brave Manjushri, who's the bodhisattva of wisdom, and Sumantra Bhadra realize things as they are, I dedicate all these virtues in the best way that I may follow after them. Whatever dedications the three times victorious ones, Gandhi Bliss, have admired as best, in the same way, I also perfectly dedicate all these roots of virtue so that I may perform good works. So that's it. That's this practice. And you can get, you know, again, you can download it. You can get this little booklet. I don't know if we have them at the center anymore or not. And this is, there's books. Lama Yeshe's written a book on Vajrasattva. There are commentaries on this practice. But, at some level, I know many of you have done this practice. And I've done it with just some faith that something will happen. And that's a good place to be, actually. So, let's see. Where are we? So it is 8:43, your time. Run over a little bit. I want to wrap things up. Anybody have any questions about, please type them in to the chat box if you have any questions at the moment. You probably want to wrap it up and get to bed and move on. I understand. So I did want to mention a couple of things. You know, we talk at Kadamba Center. There's prayer wheels outside. You know, people can, you can go by and spin the prayer wheels. And people can circumambulate the stupa. I don't know how many of you were there when we when the stupa was built, but maybe many of you have. But it's like completely full of all kinds of things. It's almost like a time capsule in some ways. But the top part of it is full of holy texts and millions and millions of mantras that have been wrapped around incense and put in there. And it's like a Sharon Harris nuclear power plant for Dharma practice. It's a nuclear power plant for Dharma practice in the best sense of the word. And so it is, you know, as someone who has faith in the Dharma and in the power of holy objects, and Lama Zopa is always encouraging us to build holy objects like this stupa. So we can walk around. Geshe Gelug's always sent, encouraging us, to go walk around the stupa. And as we do, say prayers and pray for yourself, pray for your family, pray for the center to be successful in its mission. Pray for world peace. Pray for our leaders. Pray for whoever. You know, you can use that time to say mantras, but even just walking around that stupa, take your dogs, your animals around the stupa. I always try to get my kids to walk around the stupa. They don't, you know, Annabelle, my youngest one, she walks around the stupa now. She doesn't know what she's doing. I mean, she doesn't have a lot of faith, but I tell her that this is going to make a difference. And so she really has a little bit of faith, but there's a lot of stories about the power of the object. And so, of course, our faith in that, in the power of the object, makes it much more powerful. But whether you believe this or not, one of the reasons that Rinpoche asked us to put the stupa out in front of the center was that so people who drove by or people who came by on the train who saw it would have that Dharma imprint in their mind, and it would ripen in the future in some beneficial way. And so these are things that we don't, you know, it's sort of like amazing that how powerful Buddhists, and particularly our teachers, believe our mind is, that we have this amazing potential, and that objects that we can circumambulate can actually impact and help purify our negative karma and put positive imprints on our mind stream. And so to the degree that you have faith in that, I encourage you to take advantage of those kinds of opportunities to do new purification practices. It doesn't just have to be Vajrasattva. And certainly we don't want to forget to, you know, to really apologize to people that we have done things, who we've harmed in some way. And you can even imagine people that are deceased now can still do these practices and dedicate them, you know, apologizing, you know, to them, and then imagining that they're in the space in front, and then trying to clean up that negative karma as well. So purification practice is really, you know, we're on the path, the path of purification and also accumulation. And so we need to take every opportunity we can to purify our mind. So I think with that, we'll just wrap it up. And I appreciate everybody's commitment to doing this class and taking your time out to show up for now about 6 weeks. And we've got a couple of weeks off before Robbie Watkins takes the ball. I'm going to pass it off to him and the Discovering Buddhism, and then we'll see what happens. But I really want to thank people for showing up and, like I said, giving me the opportunity to think about and share what little I know about this. And I'm really grateful for the opportunity to be part of Discovering Buddhism and the teachings at Kadampa Center. So with that, we'll say good night and bless
you
guys, and we'll see you next time.
I know Don can't
dedicate the merit of we all create a lot of merit individually and collectively to the happiness of all living beings. So be safe.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Don.
Thanks.
Thank you, Don. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you, Linda.
We'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
Thanks, Linda.
For Refuge in the Three Jewels.
That sounds like a movie.
Yeah.
With Indiana Jones, maybe?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
That's right.
Sounds like a good one. Good to see everyone. It's good to see you, Linda.
Hi, Naga.
Good, everyone. Sorry about all the craziness tonight. I'm glad it all worked out.
Crazy this week, or something kooky's going on.
I know. During the class, my dog tipped over her giant bin of like 50 pounds of dog food down our stairs.
Oh, how convenient.
Yes. So my daughter is out there cleaning up.
Next.
Mike, what else? Bring it on.
Next on the side of, on just on my bedroom wall. Just next.
Thanks for all of your support, you guys, and for showing up week after week. It's always a pleasure to see you.
You too.
And hopefully we'll see you in a couple weeks.